the NFL versus the Picks show. This is where Mr. Billy Body and I, Kev Manning, go through all of your NFL picks and give you what you should be doing this weekend. I'm Kev Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast, of course. You could find all of my nonsense at Lingus Mafia on Twitter. And this is Mr. Billy Body.
Hi.
So we're going to be going through a few things this week that are the final before Super Bowl. This is a sad day, sad time of year. It always hurts my heart when this is happening because it's just about over. And there's after this week, then you have a fake Pro Bowl, which, by the way, did you know the Pro Bowl was just going to be Madden simulation?
I had no idea that they were even. I heard them doing the talking about the Pro Bowl, the Pro Bowl. But I assume they would just play it out. Why not just play it out? They played it every other game.
Yeah, because this game is garbage in the first place. Everyone bullshits this game. They don't fucking play. They barely do two hand touch. It's a fucking joke. So they should do away with the whole entire Pro Bowl as is and figure something else out. They've been trying to figure it out for years. They've been having like a celebrity fucking flag football game or having, you know, Deion Sanders be the coach, shit like that. So they need to figure out something else because nobody needs to see it. I'd rather see Quarterback Challenge. Remember that old show back in the day?
No, what's that? I don't remember that.
You should look that up on YouTube. It was where all the top quarterbacks had competition. And it was like you got to hit the targets in a certain amount of time. You got to run this obstacle course, then throw the ball at the end at the target. Who got closer to the target got the most points. The farthest throw got the most points. It was a real fucking fun. Like, Favre threw it like fucking 80 yards or some shit. Like 85. It was some wild shit. So if you want to look up on YouTube, NFL Quarterback Challenge. They even made a video game for it, which was fun to play. So, we're going to go through the game that we're not going to talk about too much first. And that is we're going to go out of order. And I got a reason for you, Billy, that why the Packers are not playing the late game like you were texting me about and saying this is bullshit. I want it to be colder. And I'll explain that for you. So the first game is going to be Kansas City and Buffalo in Kansas City, of course. The number one seat is the Chiefs. Buffalo is hot. Both of these games right off the bat are only 3-point spreads. So Mahomes was cleared today. I don't think he was going to be held out even if he woke up with a fucking headache that day. He would have just not told anybody and he'd been fine. And I checked the line and it still stayed at 3. I grabbed it when it was 3, like right off the bat, because I said, well, he's going to play and the spread's going to go up. So I grabbed it right away and threw 50 on it. But it is still the same on my betting website that I go to with the 3 points. I have more confidence in this game than I do the next game that we were talking about. Do you have a good feel for this game? The Bills are pesky, obviously, but I still think they're young, and I'm not betting against Mahomes. Like, if he was in last week, they completely cover the spread. They were starting to run on them well, you know, putting up with the score, and then he got hurt, and they still fucking did it, which was an amazing play by Andy Reid at the fucking end, which nearly gave me a fucking heart attack. He outsmarted everybody because I was like, oh, okay, they're going to fake it. That's what Romo told us. And then he went for it with a shotgun. I said, oh, just get up to the line and push. Fuck that. But I would assume I'm taking the experience. Mahomes is just too good, and I'm going with him on this one.
It was a stupid play. He should have just pushed. It was like a half yard. Yeah. They could have pushed it through. I think they're not making too much about how clever that was.
It was ballsy. That's for sure. Very ballsy. I mean, you're a genius if it works, and you're an asshole if it doesn't. That's what it comes down to.
I think he was an asshole for doing it. but I mean, I guess obviously he's coached games and I haven't, and I guess the surprise element was they're not going to do this.
Yeah.
And that's the part of it. Like, it's kind of like in soccer, sometimes players chip chip shot a penalty in the middle of the goal because goalkeeper, because you know it's from 12 yards out, and the goalkeeper just tries to take a dive a second before. Mm-hmm. Like most goalkeepers try and guess the side, like they look at the feet, they look at the eyes, and the only real way that you save a penalty is to anticipate where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So some players, they slide it, and they literally, sometimes just to be cocky, they chip it down the middle.
I always wondered that. I said, how come nobody kicks in the middle? Because these guys dive before they swing their legs, so why wouldn't anybody just roll it forward?
Well, they don't, it's not considerable that they dive, or it's not consistent that they dive before the shot's moved, okay, before the shot is hit, not on penalties. I mean, some do and some don't. I mean, most goalkeepers, when a particular, it's the good players that do it. It's not like you're fucking, you know, in a penalty shootout where you're like, where you get to the defenders, like they wouldn't do it for that necessarily. It's the world-class players, when they step up, they kind of know that the goalkeeper is going to move first because of who they are.
Are you go ahead.
Am I not what?
No, are you not allowed to fake the kick and then kick it? Like if you have to go a full fluid motion, otherwise it doesn't count?
Yeah, you have to do a fluid you have to have a fluid motion. You can have a stop start run up, but you can't have you can't feint the kick.
You can't swing the leg and stop it and then swing it.
No, we have guys that stall, stopping their run up, and then it makes you think about what it makes you change what kind of kick they get, so you can't anticipate what kind of kick they're going to do. But yeah, I mean, it needs to be like a fluid motion. Like you can't stop and then the goalie dives,
mm-hmm,
and then completely and then slide into an open goal. He won't be able to do that.
So who do you look at on this game? I mean, they talked about it was more of a neck injury than a head injury, but meanwhile, like hitting his neck caused a fucking concussion because his head never touched shit, as we saw. It didn't touch the fucking ground at all. And he was way fucked up, more than you would think. He got fucking smashed and he didn't. So do you worry about him getting hit in the beginning of the game and being done? Because if that's the case, it's done.
Just what I was going to say. I was just going to say, if they like target him at the start of the game, it would be worrying for me that he gets hurt from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and fake it afterwards. Do your best to go, oh no, he's not hurt at all. Just put him back out there.
I'm shocked that they cleared him today. And that's widespread news, right?
Yeah. That's all over.
Nothing. Not a single bit of movement for that.
Yeah, that was like the ESPN everybody report thing. Mahomes has been cleared. So, and we are
bigger favorites than the Chiefs now.
On mine, everybody's 3.
Yeah, they are, but there's like little bits of line movement.
Uh-huh.
So the Chiefs are going to 3.5, and we are already almost like we are already at that 5-6 number.
And he's talking about the Packers, by the way, if people don't know who he's talking about. So we'll go into this Packer one, because this is where we're going to talk more. And
yeah, why are we first? And why are we Super Bowl favorites now?
Well, I haven't seen that it was Super Bowl favorites. I would assume favorites for this game. And I would assume it's going to be, you know, Mahomes and Rodgers. Now, they switch every year. It's NFC goes first 1 year. The next year, they go second. Back forth. So, luck of the draw. Last year, it was the late game, and that's when you had San Francisco. So it just goes back and forth. Doesn't matter. So that is your thing. So I talked about you on the Lingus Mafia podcast show this week. I started off the show, and I read our text message exchange, which they enjoy thoroughly, because I said, I heard from the very unbiased Billy Body this weekend. And I said, he's scared to death. I said, he wants to, if he says enough times, he will convince himself that he's not scared. I get it 100%, because it's fucking, Tom Brady does this. I can't believe that he goes to the other division and he's in the championship game again. It's fucking unbelievable. So I do say the Packers do have a better team. They've been together longer. I don't know if like from 1 to fucking, you know, 55 or whatever is better, because obviously, you know, Bucks have, you know, a lot of superstar people that came over chasing a ring. But the chemistry of being together for a while, I think the Packers obviously have that. They've been together longer. Obviously, Rodgers knows his people longer. He's been there instead of Tom just meeting people for the first time other than Antonio Brown and Gronk. And Gronk, you know, he's more of a safety valve than anything else. He's not going crazy. He makes some spectacular things here and there, but he's not their main target. But the amount, the receivers they have are fucking insane. You know, they got like three fucking monsters and the tight end. So it comes down to more so, I would say, the Bucs defense versus Rodgers. Obviously, it's not going to be Brady's versus Rodgers because neither of them play against each other, which is always funny when they say this versus this. I go, well, I didn't know they were safeties. So it's going to go like that. And I actually put $50 down on the Packers.
Oh, my God.
So I win either way. I hedge my bet. Because would I pay $50 for the Packers to lose? Yes, I fucking would. I will not be surprised if the Bucks win. Like I've told you before when I said, well, there are times when a team, you see each other earlier in the year, right? And like I had said last week, I didn't believe that New Orleans can beat Tom three times. I'm like, that's too many. I don't trust. It's too many times seeing somebody. It's that's what's in my head all the time.
Except that theory was bullshit, and it didn't have any statistics. The data didn't support it.
Yeah, the data didn't support it, but I never mind these datas. So they win. They figure them out eventually. Okay, there it goes. And so you look back now, the Bucks beat the Packers like badly the first time. And Rodgers had a horrible game, threw three interceptions. You look at that, you say, he's not going to do it again. He's not throwing three interceptions again. If he does, just turn off the TV, because it's over if he throws three interceptions. If he throws two, it might be over. And I think he is the type who will watch that, see what they did, figure it out, and not let it happen again. Obviously, the only way to make him really get fucked up is the pressure, and they were on his ass. I remember he was getting like stuck in the ground a lot in that game and throwing the ball, like having to get rid of it, and that was the cause of it. So if his protection is better, I don't know. I mean, the Bucks have a good defense, obviously, but I don't see the weather or the home field. You know, that doesn't bother me.
It's not that good. It's not that good. It's been getting worse throughout the season. And last week, what did Drew Brees do? He handed them this game. He handed them a route into the NFC Championship game. With how many did he throw? Three or four?
I think it was
four.
Three, right? I thought.
Well, three maybe then. Okay.
Either way, it's all change at that point. But at the same time, they still have to execute it. They still have to get to him. They still have to catch these balls. They still have to cover the guys well. And it's not, I mean, fuck, they were the better team is the Saints. Obviously, they're the better team. And they got to them. So it's one of those, it's every any given. And on a good day, a great quarterback could look like shit on a good day of a defense. I mean, how could you account for Rodgers being so bad the first time they played? It's just one of those things. You get caught. You get bit. It's one of those. But I think he's more of a student of the game. And he plays that way, and I think he learns from things. Like I said, the only reason I don't like the guy is he's in my division, and I constantly get my ass fucking beat by him. Like when Favre went to the Jets, I could actually enjoy Favre because he wasn't against me. So, I mean, obviously, I think he's one of the fucking best that's ever played the fucking game. Billy's delusional thinking he's the greatest that's ever played a game, but when you...
Let's get that right into context.
Okay.
I said he's the greatest... In terms of if you're picking a quarterback for a fantasy team, he's the greatest of all time. Because if you're looking at, look, he hasn't had, if you're putting a fantasy team together, mm-hmm. and you have like all of these, you know, legendary receivers, I don't know even who I put in there. I haven't even had chance to think about it. I don't know.
Deion Sanders, you put Owens and fucking Rice.
Yeah. 85 Bears, whatever. So like, you know, you're putting together this team. you want him to be your quarterback. Like, he's the greatest quarterback ever in terms of talent. So when you're putting that together, you don't count, you don't factor in how many rings people have got and how many wins people have got. You just look at the fact and say, Aaron Rodgers is going to find everybody. And if he does, if there's nobody open, he still might make the play with his feet. And Brady can't do that. Aaron Rodgers is a far better quarterback, and he's definitely the best quarterback in the league now. That's not even a debate at the moment.
You don't think Mahomes is at least the same? I mean, I think Mahomes pulls more rabbits out of his hat.
Mahomes has the talent, and he could get the rings as well. I don't think he's pulled more rabbits out of his hat. I mean, last year they did. The Super Bowl run involved so many comebacks from losing positions. In fact, I believe they were double digits down in both games. And even in the second one, it doesn't get as much attention when they double digits down actually quite late in the third or something. If I remember rightly, I'm not sure. I think the first one looked really bad, but they were able to come back so quickly, like even before halftime. And then it was the game after that where they were actually down fairly late, like in the third, but still, like, he managed to have those comebacks. So I feel that,
and in the Super Bowl,
right? Yeah. So look, the Super Bowl was easy. They were behind.
They
initially
were getting beat up pretty good though in the Super Bowl, and then it was like,
yeah, but for like a quarter, I think, or maybe like they think maybe San Francisco got in at halftime, edging ahead. I don't think it was significant. I know they look bad in the first quarter, yeah. But like, I wasn't worried as someone that backed them. Do you remember last year where I had where I bet San Francisco to cover the Chiefs to cover the spread, but I took San Francisco +2 the half time line.
Oh really? I don't even remember. Oh no shit, that's pretty good.
It was on the show. I just said, look, this team's died bad every game, so I'll take the 2 points for the half, but I'll take the spread for the game. And yeah, I won both.
It was 10-20 going into the fourth quarter, and they scored 21 in the fourth.
Yeah, the line was -3.5. I didn't know it was 10-20. I thought that they got
fourth.
Back. So what was the score at the half?
At the half, it was 10-10. And then the 49ers scored 10 in the third, and Kansas City didn't.
So I won with the I won because I had the 2 points.
And then it was we're down by 10. Okay, let's score 21 and hold them to zero. Fuck. And it would have been over if Garoppolo hit the guy that was wide the fuck open. Because at the end, if you remember, I think there was like a pick six or something. It ended the game. So it wasn't like they were ahead by 10 the whole time. I think they were ahead by 3 at the point. So they ended up fucking that up at the end. And I was like, well, just missed wide open guy.
But my point is that so he moves around on his feet. He makes all the passes. He's got the Super Bowl. He could be a guy who obviously comes through, and like I said, I'm not saying that Rodgers is going to be considered as the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm saying in this situation where if you're putting your team together, it's weird with NFL, like, because if I'm doing this with like soccer, like everybody has their own statistics for like, got, you know, you only take in really the statistics. Like, trophies are important, but like when you're looking at player statistics, and the thing is with soccer as well, you don't have this kind of thing where you're so stuck, you know, with trades and drafts and stuff. The rich clubs buy the best players, so they do end up with trophies anyway. That's probably not a good thing, because the NFL is a lot more balanced. Like, it's not a case of someone has a rich, you know, the richest owner. Say like you had some.
It's
Arab
like baseball.
Coming. Right, so say you had like an Arab coming, like a trillionaire Arab came
Shah
in
Khan,
and bought the Bears, for example, and then you could go and buy any quarterback and pay him what you want, and you can buy all the receivers, and you can buy any defense you want. There's no draft, you know, you don't need to have a draft or anything like that. So once you're looking at that, then the NFL wouldn't be fair anymore, because you'd have like people that could come in and just buy it. That's how soccer is. That's why you have like across Europe, you know, the same 8 to 10 teams that like dominate the entire time. So that's why it's easier to pick the trophies and the goals and the success all comes together. Football's not like that. When you're looking at like,
It used to be. That's how the 49ers and Dallas, there was no salary cap. So they used to have like the third stringers would be the first now. So it was like stockpile. And if you had the money, you pay. It was like the Yankees. You just fucking, all right, let's get who we fucking can. Fuck everyone. Now it's very open. Like, I'm glad I have a New York team for baseball, because that means they have to spend money. So there's always at least a fucking chance in the running where you go. You got to have a big market where you look at other little teams. Around a place that are bodunk towns, and they're not going to be spending money. I mean, the Royals were recently good, but forever the Royals were horrible because they don't spend money. But you got to have a big city team.
See, I didn't know about that, because, like, you know, when they talk about O.J. Simpson being like a legendary running back, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get to the Super Bowl or anything, did he? I didn't even think he got to many playoffs, did he?
No, I'm thinking he made one fucking playoff maybe, but he was a monster. And I mean, back then though, they weren't paying them, you know, a zillion dollars like now. It wasn't the monster it is now. So a lot of those old timers that were all fucking superstar, like Jim Brown, things like that, they didn't make shit. And now even in the 80s, they didn't make fucking shit. I think I was listening to one of my old Bears guys, Dan Hampton, talking about Walter Payton, and they were like, we were in awe. He was the first like player on a team. He made $1 million a year, and they couldn't believe it. And I'm like, Jesus Christ! Now it'd be like, you imagine he'd get like fucking 20 a year.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. I had no idea. I always thought it was always done and regulated like this because I mean, before I even watched football, I knew who OJ was. I mean, I watched football for a bit. It came on like Channel 4. I remember the Giants and the Buffalo Bills played in the Super Bowl. I think it was in 91 or 90. Can't remember which one. It was early 90s. And I think I used it as an excuse, like to watch TV at that time, like saying I'm into this or whatever. But yeah, I think then I had like the period where it went off Channel 4 and it went over to Sky, and I didn't have the Sky. And then once I had Sky, I think then I discovered Favre, I think around 96, 97, that kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I started watching it properly. And yeah, so I think I remember reading about OJ and then obviously watched more documentaries about OJ as of late. And that's why, and that's still always been my theory that, oh, there's these guys that run loads of yards and score loads of touchdowns, like, and they're legends with their teams, but their teams are shit. Like, you can be a
Barry
Cleveland
Sanders.
Browns. Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can be like a Browns or a fucking Bengals legend, mm-hmm. but you don't have any Super Bowls, and you may have been like good enough to you may have warranted like having Super Bowls and whatnot, but those teams couldn't come in for you because of the, you know, the salary cap or whatever. So what year was this salary cap introduced?
I think it was late 80s or very early 90s. And OJ did play one playoff game. That was it. He played in 1974.
That's crazy.
Yeah. When did the... let me type it in. The salary...
not much betting talk here, but it's fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got a lot to fucking... we'll get to it. let's see.
We had to make this show longer than half an hour.
1994.
What's that, when he got to the playoffs?
That's when the salaries cap started.
Oh, right.
So it was quite a while. That's why you see those dynasty teams. That's why I always said it was most impressive, the organization of New England. Like, I don't think we'll ever see that, because you can't keep anyone together. You have to constantly switch people in and out. There's no, I'm with this guy for 10 years at a time. Everyone is in and out. And to be able to get to the Super Bowl fucking that many times, 9 fucking times in any fucking era is insane to me, because of just salary cap problems. If somebody's that great, they're taking all the fucking salary. they're getting, you know, 30 a year for somebody, and they got to, you know, okay, well, now that means you're going to have a shit fucking receiver, this and that. So I always liked when you saw Manning, he would change his salary and be like, all right, I won't take this much, I'll take this much, because you need to pay somebody to get me good people. Because what's the difference? You go, all right, well, look at me, I'm paid, and the fucking team is trash. You go, all right, well, I'm set for life, but my legacy is garbage. That's a rough thing, because I know the Packers talk about being a little handicapped with Rodgers' contract. But I mean, obviously, when you have a fucking monster, it's worth it. But at the same time, it's up to that person. You say, okay, how much money is enough? Now, do you want to win or not? And he already has a ring, so maybe he's content too. Like, well, he doesn't have that monkey on his back, at least. Like, well, fuck, I got to get one. Otherwise, what the fuck? You know, so it's like you have that cushion in your head at least. Well, all right, I've done it. He is hungry as a motherfucker. It looks like he went on his fuck you tour this year because of the draft, which it still drives me crazy that why would they do that? Because they could have got him a killer fucking receiver and you would have two crazy fucking monsters out there and made it so easy being one step away. But they went with, oh, we see the future, which is crazy.
Apparently, like, they will, what are you talking about? Love, yeah?
Yeah.
Apparently, so I was listening that they would, that in the next couple of years, they're thinking about, apparently, I mean, this is Colin Cowherd and he talks shit, but, apparently he's saying that they'll definitely trade him in the next 2 years to get something for him. Otherwise, they'll get nothing for him.
Oh, you mean Rodgers trade him?
Yeah. He thinks they'll trade him. They'll definitely trade Rodgers in the next 2 years to get something for him.
Yeah, that's what I've heard that too, and they talk about that. Like, I mean, they would get something. If you think about it without having your heart attached to it, it's a smart move after a certain amount of time, but you're scared. Like, you still want them to have something in the tank so they're worth a trade. You know, I mean, because you go, oh, well, fuck, he's old now. He's terrible. Like, trade Drew Brees now. You're not going to get what he was worth 2 years ago. So it's always like that New England thing where you go trade a guy 1 year early, then instead of 1 year late, you're going to get a ton of shit back. And it's a business. It's okay. You're 30. He's what, 36? Something like that?
37.
Yeah. So I don't know. Tom made that deal with the devil and all that kind of shit. And he's fucking 43. And fucking, I mean, everything hurts on me right now. And I'm like the same age. I just turned 45. So he's a year younger because he'll turn 44. So I'm like, I can't even fucking fathom the pain and all that shit. And it's like, okay, I mean, if that's your business to keep yourself in shape and limber and all that. But the abuse will get to you after a while. And he has stayed upright talking about Aaron. So he hasn't gotten like the shit beat out of him for years. And like also, if you recall, he didn't play for probably about 3 years. So his NFL age is a lot less. Although, I mean, sure, your age is your age and, you know, father time and all that shit, but he doesn't have the NFL years on him. He might have played for whatever 18 years, but he hasn't played for 18. He played for then for 15. So that maybe you put into it too, but it's going to be smart to, move him eventually, but you gotta milk it for what it's worth, and you kind of got to figure, when do you pull the trigger? When do you do it? And plus, who knows? Maybe they see love in practice, and they're like, oh, fuck, this isn't, we're in trouble. You know, one of those things.
Yeah, I don't remember him particularly from any college football that I've watched, so.
We didn't get preseason either, so we didn't get to see shit. Hopefully we'll be able to see something this year where you go, okay, I can kind of see what the fuck they do.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean that's the thing with fucking with these quarterbacks that come through. Like, you want to get like a Herbert, mm-hmm. but yeah. Like, you could end up with a fucking Tua
or
a
Trubisky. What do you think? Do you have two more years or three with Rodgers? Like, when is contract up anyway? How long does he have? Do you know?
I, not off the top of my head.
I'll try to look it up. But what's your best guess, do you think, how long they keep him?
Well, I think they could win this Super Bowl, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And then if this is all true, then maybe I guess only like one. You could see them like getting this, winning the Super Bowl, and then trying to retain the Super Bowl, and then, you know, and then giving him that extra year, and then getting rid of him the year after. You know, you win, you try to go back to back, and then you don't, or they don't win, mm-hmm. and then it's if they don't win, I think that would be really, it's really difficult to see them getting to it again next year.
But it's not his fault. You know, I don't see them going, oh, he fucking, it's like he's the piece you fucking need, right?
No, I understand. But like that would be, if you don't get to this, if you don't win it this year, mm-hmm. maybe that will be the time where they go, well, we're not getting back there. Like, because we need to be the number one in the NFC. And if we didn't do it as the number one in the NFC, then we need to, and then we need to activate the rebuild as well. So I would say if we win it, I think like we give him another year. I think he just plays for us until we don't win the Super Bowl.
He is done on the 2023 season. He'll be 40 when that happens. So you probably do want to get rid of him before he's 40. That is tough. And you don't want to, I mean, talk about the fans wanting to kill you if you win a Super Bowl and then go, okay, now I'm going to get rid of you.
That's what I'm saying. I say they get rid of him the first time they don't win a Super Bowl. So I'm predicting that, like, if that is true, if we don't win it this year, then I think that we would be looking to get rid of him.
He is getting, it was a 4-year deal for $133 million with guarantee of $98 million. And that is including a $79 million when he got signed. Oof. That kind of thing where you look at, I mean, just playing the Madden video game when I'm creating a franchise and I see the quarterback wants $30 million. I go, fuck, I gotta find something else. I'm like, that's a lot of salary cap. So that's fucking interesting. Are you going to take them with the, and give 3 points? I think that's the way to go.
No, I'm not going to bet. I'm not going to bet our game. I've already got the NFC Championship future, mm-hmm. like from the, I've got 3 tickets at 7-1, 14-5, which is basically 3-1, and also 6-4, which was the last one I did before the playoffs. So I have 3 tickets to win. Oh my goodness, 400, 800. It's 1,200 plus another 500. Yeah, £1,700.
And you need the Packers and the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl to get this.
No, that's just the Packers. The Chiefs, I've got 500. Oh. The 500 at dead even. So that would be another 1,000. If these two get there, I will have, without the spreads, just if they get there, I get £2,700 on Sunday. But in saying that, 500 of on the Chiefs side, the Packers is 900 of that is my own money that I put out for the bet. So 900 is my own money that I'm just getting back, and 2,700 will be the return if they do get there. So I put 900 out to win 2,700. Obviously, I'm covering my back a little bit. Like, I'm gonna put 100 on the Bucks on the money line and 100 on the, maybe not 100 on the Bills.
No,
like,
don't do it.
You can't take that risk to lose £900.
Yeah, but it's like found money. Like, it's already gone. You already did it. Like, I wish I had the patience you had, because I can't make a bet in the beginning of the year to wait all the way to the end. There's no fucking
found
way.
Money. I spent it. I invested it to win this money. I want to get at least the £900 back. So, I mean, betting on the pack. What I would do is probably like do 100 on each, like, because, you know, it's the profit of 900 to win 2,700 is £1,800. So you're telling me if you're going to make an 1,800 profit, you can't be happy with a 1,500 profit instead by spending 300 to make sure you don't lose so badly.
I just think you got this for one. I think both of those teams are winning, and I also, like, if I spend money like a while ago, I'm always like, well, it's already gone. I don't even know about it. So I kind of don't count it, you know?
That's not how I think about it at all, especially when I'm looking, I've seen this like go up the whole season. Like, I can cash it out right now. Mm. The Chiefs one, I can't cash out for shit because the 500 that I bet down is only worth 600 because they were evens in the first place. The Packers, yes, like, there's loads of money that I can take now without even watching, without the game even being played out. My ticket for my ticket to win 380 from 100, I can already get. What's this going on? I can instead of getting 380, I can get 275 now instead. Mm. The other one that's available, like I got 6-4 that I put 200 on. Instead of getting 500, I can get like 365. The one at the start of the season, the 7-1 that I had at the start of the season that returns 800, I can already get 570 of that without the game being played out. So I can take a whole wad of money now. So if I'm waiting the game out, I'm going to like put some like hedges down. One thing I might do is put, when it comes down to it, I may do something which I call a disaster hedge, where you could lose all your money. But to stop you from losing all your money, I may hedge less and parlay the two teams together, parlay together the Bills and the Bucks, so that I don't lose. So in that case, if it won't go completely wrong, because the payout of the parlay will be so big from taking two underdogs that it will, like, for a small stake, it will wipe out everything I put down. So
how much would you put on that, though?
I don't know, maybe 100.
Oh God, I think that's throwing money away. I think that one especially, because there's no way the Bills and the fucking Bucks go both. One might get bit. There is no way in hell they're both fucking going.
It's 100 to win 800, so it's pretty much the 900 I've got out. I can recoup 800 of it by winning that bet. So I would have lost 100, and I'd be really fucking pissed off if that's the Super Bowl. But yeah, for me, like, the Packers are like the absolute priority, but I'm not understanding why we're bigger favorites here than the Chiefs, because now that here's the thing. Like, do you know what? Let's finish the Packers game, because we'll do it in chronological order, and then we'll get to the Chiefs game. I have strong opinions on that game, like strong opinions.
All right.
More so than I have here, because here I'm just scared.
Yeah, it is a lot harder when it is your team involved. It is a lot harder to be objective because you try to be brave, but at the same time, you're terrified because that's us as a sports fan. And you're like, fuck, you know, it's very fucking difficult. That's why, like, I can look at it, even being a guy who's Chicago, I can look at it and see. I'm not blind. I know that they're fucking great. I know Rodgers is fucking good, but I mean, and I know Tom is Tom, but they're the number one seed. It's Aaron Rodgers in prime form, going to be MVP. They're going to win this game. And I hope I'm fucking wrong. I'm not wrong. I wouldn't bet money on it if I really thought I was going to be fucking losing it. My nightmare is they win by one and I lose my fucking money and the Packers go. That's what fucking happens to me.
No, you see that's starting to like normalize, because the teams that last week, how many backdoor covers were there? Green Bay covered easily.
And you had the Browns covered that.
That was the backdoor. The Bills won and covered. And Tampa Bay won, and obviously they covered because they're an underdog. So yeah, it was 3-1 last week with a team. I mean, that's still, you know, we're getting to three games so far this year where a team have won and not covered, and there's only been four in the last 4 years. So it's still a weird season, but it was more of a normal week. I don't think that any of these games this weekend are won by like two or three. I think it's either going to be a case of, look, here's the two things, right? Our defense can't cover like the deep ball. If Brady starts airing out the deep ball, and that's kind of his plan, and the receivers are onto it, and our defenders can't cope with it, then we're going to be in trouble throughout the game. If they start utilizing the run, like they started to do last week, we may have problems stopping it. But we didn't have any problems stopping it last week, and we also shut down Derrick Henry which everybody forgets about. Mm-hmm. I think it was on week 15 or 16. Like we shut that shit down, like as good as the Ravens did. So I don't necessarily think that there are many ways that they can beat us, other than the fact that we just play a really bad game. Like the defense is off, receivers are dropping passes, we give away penalties. You just know, like in sport, how people can just play a bad game.
Yeah,
you look at the game and go, there's no way they lose it here. Like, you know, the mm-hmm. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are coming into the cold. Aaron Rodgers has just been on fire there all week. We beat the shit out of a better defense than this last week already. So the history is there for us to put up 30, which the Buccaneers probably won't. So,
and more good news for you, and this is probably why your number is going up. They do not have Antonio Brown this game.
Okay, but Antonio Brown hasn't done that much since he came in.
Yeah,
but he is a distraction because it's Antonio Brown, and you have to cover it.
Yeah, you have to respect it still.
Right. Yeah. So and that opens up, and Antonio Brown will open up gaps then for other players, because if your focus is on Antonio Brown, who Brady likes to go to, then you have to then it leaves other people free, like Gronk, Goodwin. I think Goodwin's had, like, is it Chris Goodwin? He's had the mm-hmm. most passes off Brady this season. I think nearly 20% of the passes go to him. I lost a prop last week on Goodwin because his yardage, his receiving yards were so low compared to other weeks in a season where they were only set at, I think it was 61 or 63, I think, and he didn't get anywhere near in a game that they won.
The Bucs were ran on the sixth least amount of times, which is very odd. Nobody wants to run on them, which
it's because they're a number one run defense. So
yeah, and I think their corners are the weaker point, obviously, probably, and so that means Aaron Rodgers could go crazy. But now Aaron Rodgers finally has a run game as well. So if they get any success in the run, they're going to kill them then, because then it's set up play action. Everyone's going to be like, we got to stop the run, and they'll jump up and then over the top. Because you know there's going to be at least two times that Aaron does that fucking drop over the shoulder fucking bomb. There is always somehow, some way, some guy free. And there's like nobody covered the guy, and the guy's like by himself 50 yards. I never understand it, but it's a lot with them. I gotta tell you, you gotta try to find that Pat McAfee show where Aaron Rodgers is on every Tuesday. It's really fucking good. I really enjoy it. He gets inside deep talking about shit, which is really.
Wait, he's in there. He's on there every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday he calls in, and it's for a fucking while. And they ask him everything. You could probably YouTube it. I guarantee you could YouTube it. It's real fucking good though, because he gets into technical shit about what he saw and what they were calling and what this guy was doing and that. Do you remember last week where Aaron gets to the line and he starts fucking laughing? It was right before the fucking quarter was done or the half, something like that. And he goes up to the center and he just starts laughing and they don't call play. And they go, what the hell happened? And he said, we were trying to pull a fake. We weren't going to snap the ball. And one of the guys said, fake, fake, fake. They're not going to snap the ball. And he was like, ah, fuck. Why do I even have to go through this now? They already know. And one of the linebackers yelled out loud, we aren't falling for your bullshit. And he just started fucking laughing from it. So he said that what it was. The inside linebacker just yelled, I'm not falling for your shit. And so he just fucking started laughing. So it's little inside things. It's a real good show if you want to hear some inside shit. So let's go on to...
I have a couple of props. I have a couple of props here. Then we'll move on. So just it's not too many, actually. I think that Fournette is gonna have over 10.5 rushing attempts. His yardage is at 43.5, but if we're gonna stop the run, then he may not get to that. Although I do think that he will. I don't think we're gonna stop it entirely. So I do think he'll get over that. But I do like him to at least try 11 running plays with Fournette throughout the game.
That's a good one. Over 10.5. Yeah, that doesn't seem like it's that high.
The other few I like here. I like Chris Goodwin, over 22.5 yards for the longest reception that he receives. Brady likes to air that ball out, and I can see a lot of third downs and third down situations where they need to make it, or just generally like that. Sometimes they like go for it on first down. We've seen them do that where they've beaten all these shitty teams. So yeah, I can see Goodwin getting a longer reception like that of 22.5. I like that more than Devontae Adams. He's at 25.5. Player receptions. The run probably isn't going to work. This is the number one rush defense, but we probably will try throughout the game. But I like Devontae Adams to get over 7.5 passes. And I also like Devontae Adams to get over 86.5 passing yards. So I think both of those are going to hit. And what else? Completion numbers. I don't think there's any issue. I don't think Roger. They're both set at the same, but there's no way that Brady's making more completions here than Rodgers. They're both 24.5 each, but Aaron Rodgers was yielding off those short passes at second and five and things like that, and we were making the first downs by a couple of yards. It weren't a case of a load of chunk plays, which is what Brady does. Like Rodgers will definitely make more completions. And Brady will like reel off yards in chunks. That's why I don't like the passing yards here. And Rodgers' passing yards are set lower than Brady's. It's 282 for Rodgers and 284 for Brady. Mm-hmm. But as far as actual completions go, there's no way they should be anywhere. They should be on the same level because this is going to be Aaron Rodgers. So and Devontae Adams anytime touchdown. But that's at 4-6. So that's odds on. That will cash as well. So yeah, these are just some props that I like. One thing I will say, as we move off this game, there was a bit of divorce in the summer with Belichick and Brady. Mm-hmm. They were divorced, and it looks like Brady got the kids because he's in the playoffs. But
well, actually, he didn't get the kids, and he gets to have fun.
That's how you look at it.
he don't want the kids. He had a better time.
But this is interesting. Including last week's game, against winning teams this season, teams that have winning records, Tom Brady's 2-5.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick's 2-6. But it's not, so they're still the same.
That's funny. You'd still want the Brady thing at this point.
If I was starting a team, if I could only have one.
Oh, right now, of course, I'd take Belichick. Yeah, he's going to be around longer. Brady's around maybe one more year.
Well, he's going to coach that much longer. How old is Bill Belichick? He's got to be like late 60s, surely.
Yeah, he's late 60s, but I mean, he's not like, I think he wants to beat that record, and it's a few more at least for that. I mean, you're only going to get Tom 1 year. You're getting it, Belichick at the least 5.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Tom Brady's not talking about doing one more year, is he?
Well, he signed for 2. So one more after this, and that's all he signed for.
All right, and then where's he going to go?
I think he's done.
I don't.
It's.
We'll see. We'll see how badly he plays next season.
See, that's the thing, too, is like if the people go, oh, if he wins, he'll say, okay, I'm done. No, he's not that tight. He'll go, I want to see if I can fucking win again then. Obviously, I won last year. Why not keep going? It'll never stop with that. You have to be just, I think it has to be where, like, that breeze stuff. Like, your arm is not your arm anymore. Because, obviously, he can dink and dunk. He doesn't have to throw 50-yard fucking passes, obviously. It's his brain that's most the work. It's knowing the blitzes, knowing who's going to be open when there's a certain blitz. And just toss it. You don't need to, I have to win the game and do this and that. It's a matter of managing at this point when you're that smart to do it. I really like your 7.5 catches by Adams. I think that's a really good one.
Yeah, there is some good ones there, but like obviously, I mean, I think every prop I play is good. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that, they're based on looking at the data throughout the entire season. And it does require, things to go as they have been. But that's not been happening in the playoffs. Like, my prop record is nowhere near as good as it was in the regular season. Because, mm-hmm. The regular season, you can hit the same thing over and over and over and over again. But the playoffs is rough. They're very much like one-off games. Like, that Goodwin prop last week, that was fucking easy. Like, that should have gone easy. That should have hit easily. And then you try to, do things like, you can see that things aren't quite the same in the playoffs. So mm-hmm. I took, Josh Allen, who had rushing yards last week against the Colts in the playoffs. He ended up having, I think it was over 40 rushing yards against the Colts. And you could see that there were more designs for rush plays for Allen against the Colts. And they felt more comfortable in the playoffs, keeping the ball in his hands. So I figured, I've guessed that right. I played that right. Like the rushing yards the week before were like fucking 23.5 or something like that. And then I saw what they were doing, and they moved it up to 33.5. I was like, don't worry, it's no problem. I'm still going to play. It's just 10 more yards. It's just, another couple of carries. And he blew it away last week. Well, then when they played against the Ravens, they didn't have any rush designs for Allen. Mm-hmm. Maybe just the only time he's rushing was when he got, the receiver wasn't wide open and he had to rush for six or seven and then run himself out to the sideline. It was a fucking night. So you watch every fucking minute, and that that's almost the problem. Like, I almost feel like that's what's hurt me, because I don't watch games. I watch Red Zone. I watch the Sunday night game and the Monday night game and the Thursday game, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm watching the Red Zone. I'm watching all of the scores, all of the first downs, field goals, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't you don't have to pay full attention to the game. But as I'm there, I'm watching it like I watch soccer. I'm making all of these observations. I'm looking at tactics. I'm looking at what they do on this down and what they do on the other down. And I'm trying to make props around that. And it's just not quite hit doing it that way. I think I just prefer to just go back to playing the numbers. And eventually they should come through. In this game in particular, we should be seeing them just doing what they're best at. Like, we should and going against what they're weakest at. So I think the Bucks will try and establish the run, and I think the Packers will keep it in the air and short. I think I think Brady will air out some passes when he has long yardage to get. But I do think that this game will be them doing what they will play to their strengths. And I think it'll probably go over. We haven't talked about the Lions. 52. I think it'll go over that. I think it'll go over 52.
Yeah.
Because we're getting 30.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, they've got to at least get fucking 20 there. So I would think so. 52 over 50.
We're getting 30 if we're winning. If we don't get 30, I don't think we'll win this game.
Yeah, I think you're right. If they're under that, I don't see them being some defense that is stopping everything and winning, 17-10,
It's not going to be 17. Yeah, it's not. It's definitely not. It's not going to be 24-16 either, or anything like that. I think we're going to win. We're going to need to win this game, 35-24, something like that. So I think it'll go over.
The only one I'm not thrilled on is that Godwin over 22.5 on one play. I feel like it's like, oh God, there's got to be those one fucking good size pass. That makes me nervous.
Well, last week, I lost on one of these fucking plays. It was, let me find it. And this is why I'm not scared to play the Godwin one. It was Alan Lazard, under 18.5 for the longest reception. I didn't think that when Rodgers threw out a long pass, mm-hmm. that he would be looking for Lazard. I thought if you're trying to gain 30, 40 yards, you're airing it out to Adams.
Yeah.
Only. But no, Lazard caught not one, but two huge passes. He caught the pass for the touchdown at the end, towards the end that killed the Rams completely. When they were getting close and they were covering the spread, that one, the next one after that, Lazard got that one. So he absolutely kill this. You know, like, it's, you know, you can, once you receive the pass, it still counts, like, when you receive it and even when you keep running.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So 22.5. I'm not scared of that. I'm not scared of that. I don't think.
That's a long fucking play. All right. So let's get into Kansas City then. What are your thoughts that you said you had some good stuff here?
Yeah. I think not good stuff. It's just a very, very clear. It's one thought. Okay. It's a clear direction in terms of how this game goes. I bet Kansas City at the start of the season. Do you know the number one team that I wanted to play in the NFC, in the AFC Championship game? The one team, the team I wanted, realistically. Okay, so I eliminated Cleveland already from my thinking because I thought they were going to lose to the Steelers. But if you look at the remaining teams, who would, you know, who I wanted the Chiefs to play?
God, out of the whole everything?
No, the ones that got to the playoffs.
You wanted Tennessee out of there.
I didn't want to play. I wanted to play Buffalo just to keep it. I wanted to play Buffalo because they beat them in the regular season. Mm-hmm. They beat them by establishing a running game against them. I can't remember what the circumstances were even for that. I think it was just because they were getting pressure on Mahomes. And most importantly, this team don't run the ball at all. Mm-hmm. And the only way you're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs is to establish a running game throughout. I mean, the teams that have beaten them or given them trouble last year were teams that established the run. And then this season, Oakland Raiders did that as well, where Harbaugh was establishing the run. So getting back, sorry, what, did I just say Harbaugh? I didn't.
Yeah, well, Harbaugh's on Baltimore.
Yeah, I didn't.
The coach.
Yeah, why? I know that's the wrong thing, but why did that come into my mind?
Probably because Baltimore's in the playoffs.
I've got Harbaugh here in my notes. Yeah, like obviously throughout he likes to establish the one, but Gruden was what I was thinking about during the regular season. Gruden at the Raiders, he got them to establish the run. He loves the run. He loves the running game. He's old school, and that gave them problems. And obviously, Oakland beat them, and Oakland covered against them in the home game as well. So they were 2-0 ATS against this Chiefs team. But Chiefs' ATS record has been shit all season. But this is such a low spread that I expect them to cover. I wish I'd taken it when it was Buffalo -1 at last week after when Mahomes was out. I don't know if you remember that. It was around for about an hour till fucking Mahomes tweeted and said he was all good and then didn't even give people a chance to get it. And it was immediately 2.5. But I mean, the 2.5, I wouldn't take because I already have like the money line, you know, for them to win this. But yeah, my key reason is why I wanted to play this team is because Ravens with Harbaugh, they do establish the run. The Titans established it all season. Derrick Henry, you know, is a player who's a fucking monster. I think he would have given them the big problems. And Pittsburgh, they're like a little bit more like one-dimensional with the pass. That would have been an easy game as well. But it's just fucking, you know, these old school quarterbacks, these Rivers, Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, even Drew Brees, you know, before he fucked his ribs up. You just feel like they can produce some like magic. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, I had them down as a team that would get to the playoffs. And, you know, they've been there and done that. And they've got a strong defense and they would perform. Like, they would, like, rise to the occasion. And they would beat the Cleveland Browns. And they would, you know, then they would, like, look more like they did during a regular season. Remember, this was an 11-0 team at one point. So I put them even higher than the Bills. The reason why I just think that this was a great matchup for the Bills is because they don't for the Chiefs is because they don't run, and you're looking at a team that just loves to pass the ball. Well, like the Chiefs, pass defense isn't that bad. It's actually one of the best in the league. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to go into a pass off and a pass off shootout, then you're doing it against the best team in the league. This plays exactly into the Chiefs' hands. Like, you want to play the team that are a worse version of you. Whereas, like, the other teams, when you're looking at the Ravens and the Titans, were completely different versions. They're nothing like the Kansas City Chiefs. They've got a quarterback who's mobile in Lamar, and that's really the only comparison you can make. But he's not a throw-first quarterback. Like, he likes to see if he can find spaces to run into. Otherwise, then he'll play the pass when he's forced into doing it. And obviously the advantage of that is when you get ahead of the Ravens, they can't come back. And that was kind of the narrative the week before on that whole Ravens-Titans game where the whole thing was neither team could come back, even though Ravens did come back from 10 points. But I think if it had been significant, nobody would have come back. Last week, the narrative was who's gonna choke out of these choking teams?
Yeah.
Is Lamar going to choke, or are the Buffalo Bills as an organization going to choke because that's what they're notorious for doing? And even Josh Allen, he's not exempt from it because he choked a huge lead up the year before against the Texans, right?
Yeah.
So that was the narrative here. That I just don't see, even though like I'm worried about it, but I'm nowhere near as much worried about it as the Packers game. Maybe that's just for me being a supporter, and maybe if I was unattached to it, I could find a clear route to them winning. Here I just see the clear route. Here I just see a team, that two teams that do the same thing, and one is better, and one is at home, and one is experienced, and one like made three comebacks last year to win the Super Bowl, and one has a better quarterback. It's just all points one direction, and one has a better defense. Like, and one has a better coach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just clear to me for this one.
It's funny because
it's the only thing, obviously, if he gets bashed in the head,
yeah,
in the first down, mm-hmm. then disregard everything I'm saying.
It's funny because the head coach of Buffalo got fired by Andy Reid because he was the defensive coordinator for Kansas City. And they put the blame on him.
I hate those narratives. I hate those narratives in this sport because they're scary. Because in soccer, you just like dismiss that. Like, that's not going to count for anything. But, you know, because I feel like it's a more skillful game. Like, it requires more talent, like to break teams down and score goals. Whereas this is like pass and catch. Like, and this is like players who, you know, want to throw themselves into a tackle. This is more of an emotional game where teams turn up or teams don't turn up, and it can be changed by emotions. Soccer is a lot of very much down to like skills. There is emotion involved, but like skill sets will usually you know prevail. But here, like, it's very much that any given Sunday kind of thing is the right appropriate saying. And I hate narratives like that because I don't want these teams to like be extra up for it if you're betting against them.
Well, where I think it comes in is the coach knowing the other coach's scheme and their tendencies. Right. And so you kind of know their playbook. Like, I mean, the most that it goes to that you think of is Gruden against the Raiders in the Super Bowl. He would do the scout team and say he was the quarterback, Gannon, and he would say, this is what he's going to do. And they had like a million interceptions in that game and completely butt-fucked the Raiders because he knew everything about those people on that team. That's the only scary thought about what that would be.
The counterpoint to that mm-hmm. would be that if anybody can scheme around that,
mm-hmm.
just look at the play that finished the game last week.
Yeah.
It would be Andy Reid. I don't think that I think that he would have enough plays in the locker to come up with new shit that's never been seen before. Like, look, I mean, when was the guy there?
It's just a couple years ago.
But
I don't think he's telling them, yeah, hey, this is a good fucking play for when this happens. You know,
In 2 years, can you imagine like how many designs that he's come up with? In addition to that, you're dealing with like Mahomes, so he can make a play out of nothing. Like, if you've got something covered, mm-hmm. he can still get six or seven. Like, he can, you know, run it out for six or seven, or even he can make first downs by himself. I was so surprised when, is it Henny, that's it, came in and like decided to run a few plays.
Nearly ran that whole thing, which, oh my God. I mean, and talk about playing your heart out. Like, diving head first to get that fucking thing and, you know, coming up a yard short. But he was like, I'm going to kill myself to get this, you know?
Yeah, but that may be because he felt bad. Like, don't suck his dick, like, too much because he fucking threw a pass up in the air. When they had a guaranteed 8-point lead because they were in field goal range. And he fucking threw, a punt up. Like, the fucking guy was
fair called.
Jack was so bad. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what is that?
Well, the heart thing is more of, you know, heart and wanting it. The other one was just, you suck as a quarterback. So he could have wanted it all he wanted, but it doesn't make it a good pass. But just putting your life on the line is different. But yeah, that was, I was like, who the fuck is he throwing to? I go, is Mitch Trubisky in the fucking game? So is that all we got for that? Are we about to wrap this up?
Well, what's your take?
Well, I just see Mahomes, and quite frankly, they could be undefeated at this point. They have played close games, though. Even when they played Buffalo, everything has been pretty tight, but they always find a way to win. I will actually take them. Let's see. I'm taking Kansas City as my lock of the week with giving up three.
I didn't know we were doing that anymore with just two games left.
Yeah, well, you could get one of these over-under things, which I think there's some. I love somebody. I wrote them down because I'm going to take some of the ones that you did. The over seven. 7.5 catches I'm taking from you, and I'm taking over 52. And I'm going to toy with the Fournette over 10.5 attempts. But I just think the only thing that could hurt that is that they got to play catch up and they'll be throwing it more. That's all.
Yeah, but you think in any situation, like the Packers are going to be looking for Devontae Adams and to give him eight passes.
Yeah, what did he get to?
What did he get last week? Let's just have a look. I'm looking at the overall.
Mm-hmm.
What I do normally is look at the receiving yards for the season, and then look at the number of receptions for the whole season, and then divide it by the number of games. But the average is there anyway. I think if I'd actually bother to look for it, but I like to do things the hard way. So against the Rams last week. We had 14 carries for Aaron Jones. Yeah, he got 9 receptions last week for 66 yards. Against the Bears, he had 6 receptions for 46 yards. So that would have lost that week. Mm. But we'll go a few games back because I'm going to probably log this up. I just want to check.
I mean, the over-under for KC in Buffalo is 54.
That's quite – that feels low, seeing as they don't run the ball. So you're going to get a really long game there.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Adams got 11 receptions against Tennessee. I think the game against the Bears, and even that's just a point – it's just 1 point short, is an outlier. I'm going to, skip up to see what he got in the Tampa Bay game. Earlier on in the season, he got 6 in that for 61 yards in a game we got fucking destroyed. Yeah, I think that's a really good play. I'm going to take the Devontae Adams over 7.5. But if my listeners are listening to this, my Patreons, just for a half unit or just for 0.55, so £55, so £55 or which is $70, I think. So just a half a play on that, on over 7.5 receptions for Devontae Adams.
Okay. I just put down money on the over in the Packer game myself before it changes.
I think the Bills KC total is pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, as long as he doesn't get knocked out.
Right.
Then we should be good in that one too.
It seems like Mahomes and Rodgers in the Super Bowl. It seems like that's what you just want to see it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not being biased and everything. Yeah, that's the one you want to see. Also, at the same time, I do like that storyline where I'm like, okay, Tom hands that baton, the torch to the new guy to fucking be the new superstar of the fucking, you know, the new guy who's going to get multiple fucking rings, because he will. He'll get quite a few, I think.
I just think if Tampa gets to the Super Bowl, like, it's going to, the Chiefs are going to win by double digits. I just don't think it's going to be a good game.
And, you know, it'd be the first time, finally, a home team plays at home, or a Super Bowl team plays at home.
Yeah, that could be a factor, I guess, as well. I mean, that is, there is that. And then with the fans in there as well. What's this thing? I don't understand this thing. Like, for 22,500 people to get to the Super Bowl, 7,500 health workers are going to be there too.
Yeah, they're just going to, like, that's a reward. They're just going to give them, let them go.
Oh!
Yeah.
So they're not there testing and
no.
stuff.
They got to, in case people drop dead. No. Goodell's just saying thank you for everything you've done and letting them go.
So they're not testing and stuff.
Mm-mm.
Oh, fuck. I need to text Russo.
Why?
Because I spoke about it this week on the show and said, how are WWE going to afford to pay are WWE going to be willing to pay 7,500 health workers? I said, because it's like, There's one health worker for every three people.
Yeah, no, it's just a thanks. It's funny because Fausti goes, you know what's going to be bad about Mania is them piping in fucking people cheering while there's 20,000 there. And I go, there is no way. People will be so hungry, it will be loud. They will have it. And he goes, they're all wearing masks. I go, you have a point. I go, if they pump in music, they're fucking assholes.
It's 30,000 people that they're gonna have, but yeah, I think they are gonna pipe in sound.
Oh my god, you finally have people. Don't pipe in anything. They're gonna be crazy. They're gonna be rabid for fucking. They're gonna be hungry. But that's a different. That's a different.
I'm still like trying to fucking work out how I'm gonna get there or how I'm gonna get to anything. I'm waiting for you guys to open this shit up, but like, no, I don't think it's gonna happen, not for a while.
You know what's funny is numbers started going down a little bit since old Smoking Joe has been in there. Like, this is the highest total of people who got vaccinated was in one day, was today. 1 million got fucking hit, so they're trying to get it before that mutant English virus gets the fuck over.
Oh, the one that fucked me up.
Yeah, they're here. It's here, but they've talked about, like, well, that's why you got to get this vaccine quickly before you get the other one, and it'll stave it off and shit like that. So we'll see. I know my mother wants to get it. She's in line. She's 72, something like that. So
do we do our 20 minutes?
Oh, yeah, we did 20 minutes with our 20-minute show for you people. That's it. Where can we find your lock betting? Because you have this weekend, I would assume, the McGregor fight.
Yeah, we got loads of shit this weekend. Like, there's soccer from the FA Cup, and then we go straight into another round of Premier League fixtures in the week. So loads of soccer this month. NBA props. We're winning most nights with that. The only time we don't win props is when players' minutes are cut down. So our team's either the players' team is either blowing the other team out, or they're on a blowout, and the coaches decide we'll just take them off and keep them for fresh for tomorrow because we've lost this game. We're 20 points down, and that fucks me because then we don't hit the prop. It's funny, when I take an under, it never goes for me. Like, where the fucking team is like losing and they pull off the guy, and I need him to get under points. Like yesterday, I had fucking Curry under 28.5, and he went over by like one bucket, like really late as well. Mm. So yeah, it fucked me off. But yeah, most nights we are winning with the props. 13-4 so far in the NHL. 11 days in a row we've won on tennis. So that's a really good run into the Australian Open, which starts at the end of the month. So yeah, lockbetting.com. UFC, forgot to mention that. You gave me the lead in as well. UFC tomorrow, made money on the UFC card in midweek, and WWE Royal Rumble at the end of the month as well.
Did you actually say which is your favorite lock?
I said, like, we'll put a half unit, put a half a unit on Devontae Adams to get over 7.5 receptions. If I wasn't,
I just put down $20 on it to get 35. So,
listen, if I wasn't invested in all of, because my members play my pick,
sure,
right, every week. I don't want my members playing Chiefs minus three. But if you're not a member of mine, or if you're a new member and you didn't get the futures pick, then Chiefs minus three is the play this weekend, 100%. Like if I didn't have the Chiefs to win the AFC already, I'd be down on that for like, you know, 1.5, maybe even 2 units. Like I really think that this game is there for the Chiefs to lose, and the only way they will lose is if Mahomes doesn't play 60 minutes.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. So with that, you heard all Billy's information. Go to his stuff and follow me on Twitter, please, at Lingus Mafia. And that is my nonsense. So for Mr. Billy Body, I'm Cav Manning, and go make some money.